I'm going to open your Bibles to Psalm 100. We're going to look at verse 4. We'll start in verse 1, but 4 is going to be the key verse for this morning. We've been talking about favor, finding favor, and when I felt led to this series a few weeks ago, kind of bothered me because I thought, well, how am I going to squeeze in a Thanksgiving sermon? And I may do that next week, but holidays are always challenging to me because if you know how I write sermons, I typically don't plan them out months in advance. Sometimes I start Saturday morning, and that's a confession. And, you know, when I come to it, the positive side of that is I pray about it and think about it all week, and I don't get any credit for it then at the end because God just does it. And as I thought about, so I didn't write these sermons ahead of time thinking, oh, it's Thanksgiving, so I got to preach on Thanksgiving. But as I wrote this one, it was really amazing to me, the points that God really brought me to. They fit the season very well. So I want you to follow as we go through this, and I just want you to see today how the message applies to what we'll celebrate next week and the season that's upon us, of course, but also realize that God orchestrated that. I didn't, so it wasn't just awesome planning by the pastor. God just does that. So we've been talking about favor, and last week we talked about how favor is not achieved, but what is favor? How do we get favor? Is it achieved? What's the word I used? Ooh, y'all failed the test. Man, flunk, zero. It's not achieved, it's received. We don't achieve favor, we just receive it. It's free, it's not something that we earn, something that God gives for us. And it's not given for our purpose and convenience or comfort. It's not favors from God done to make us happy in life. It's favor from God so that we can fulfill His purpose and meaning for our lives. That's what the favor is that we're after. And this is what I began to think about this week. How do we find the favor of God? How do we see God's favor in our lives? Because some people, and several said something to me about this, and I hear it all the time, some people may have a problem even talking about God's favor because they would say, you know, I just don't see favor in my life, my finances, my marriage, my children, my job. None of those things are going well, and so I just don't see God's favor. God must not favor me, but this is where God brought me this week that I want to respond to that. Man, it just fits with the season very well. And you can write this down if you want to. I think I have it on the screen. The best way to increase God's favor in your life is to increase your awareness of the favor you already have. Write that down. Let it sink in just a second, because what's another word for this? Being thankful. That's right. Just think about it. I mean, wrote this out, didn't even think about the word Thanksgiving, but, you know, when you increase your awareness of the favor you already have, that's called thanksgiving. That's called gratitude. It's looking around, seeing the things that God has blessed you with that you maybe take for granted and thanking Him for Him. So, gratitude, thanksgiving, man, it just fits so well. When you look around and notice all that God has done to bless you and to favor you, man, you respond with thanksgiving. And that's what this season is really all about, looking and realizing that we have received God's favor. We haven't earned it. We haven't achieved it. It was just given to us, undeserved, unmerited, by the grace of God. In fact, that's what grace means, is unmerited favor. Because of Jesus Christ, we don't always see it, and so during a time like Thanksgiving, we're challenged to remember, and that's why I had you do that little exercise. For those of you that have been on Facebook the last few weeks, you've been doing that. Somebody started a chain where each day or each week, I don't know, you posted something that you're thankful for. And man, I saw all sorts of stuff, families and friends, and some of you even said you're thankful for your pastor and your youth pastor and their families, and James and I are appreciative of that. And as I read that, I finally found an actual positive use for Facebook. One, don't get me wrong, all you're going to go, yeah, I can go Facebook now. Maybe one, but actually that's a biblical idea. The Bible says in Psalms 100, verse 4, that we should enter His gates, have on the screen, with thanksgiving, and enter His courts with praise. That verse means that before you go and ask God for anything, before you come into His presence, one thing that you should do before you ask is you should thank Him for what He's already done. Now, my wife and I inadvertently taught our kids to do that. In fact, 99% of their prayers, they found out that's a real easy way to pray. We'll say, will you bless the food? Yeah. And so what they do is, They'll just start thanking God for things. I mean, thanking God for the food that we're eating. They'll thank God for, we got to play outside today, and I thank you for my brother, and I thank you for my Xbox. And man, they'll just list 10 things that they're thankful for, and then they'll say, bless this food, amen. And, you know, sometimes I think, oh, we can pray deeper prayers than that. And I thought, you know what? They understand. They're looking around at things in life and realizing that they come from God. And I think that's a good place to have our kids. But to thankfulness, because here's the deal. We'll never see God's favor if we don't look for it. I want you to follow that. You'll never see. We'll miss it altogether. And then we're brought to a point where we're not sure if God really does anything at all. And so we have people that don't even believe in God because they miss all that God's doing. But the truth is, favor's all around us. We've just trained ourselves to stop looking for it. So my prayer is that through this teaching today, and I have 3 points that I'm going to help us learn how to walk and live in the favor of God. It's one thing to find favor. It's another thing to walk and live, realize it's around you. Because I believe that we have the favor of God in our lives, but I think that we just miss it so often. And when we miss it, then God's favor fails to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Because remember, he doesn't favor us for our convenience and comfort to use for ourselves. He favors us so that his purpose in our lives can be fulfilled. And so if we don't realize his favor is on our lives, we don't ever ask God, what do you want me to do with this to fulfill the calling and the purpose you have on my life? In truth, I believe favor is everywhere. Y'all know when you're looking for something, you're more prone to see it. And when you're looking for it, you see a lot more of it. That's how it is with God's favor. It's kind of like the old slug bug game. Anybody ever play the slug bug game? We're going to try it. We're going to try it this morning for those poor saps that don't know what it is. So if you know what it is, you get ready. If you saw something like this, what would you do? Y'all know the rules. That's pretty good. But if you saw something like this, what would you do? There we go. What about something like this? What about something like this? All right, for those of you that are just getting pounded and don't understand, it's called a slug bug because when you see it, you slug the person next to you. So this is your chance to get the person back for hitting you twice. Are you ready? Oh, don't take it yet. Did anybody hit somebody? Because you get 5 free hits. I think that's the rule if that happened. Right? What about now? All right. Play games at church. God. What kind of pastor do we have anyway? Golly. Now everybody's arms are bruised and it's not my fault. It's the person next to you now, you know. Come to church to get beat up. You know, my whole point in doing that is and you don't hardly see him at all anymore, but I remember growing up, you know, somebody would say, hey, let's play the slug bug game. And immediately, every third car that you see is a beetle. I mean, it's amazing how that works. Because, you know, I think what happens is, you know, when you determine to play the slug bug game, God miraculously puts the beetles all out there, right? Is that what happens? Because you see a lot more of them, right? So God, he loves that game. And so when you say, hey, let's play the slug bug game, God from heaven comes down and he arranges the cars in your path. So you see them? Could you see a lot more of them, right? Is that what happens? Why? Because this is the difference. I want you to follow me. You're looking for them. And so you see what you're looking for. Same way when you buy, you know, you see a car that you really like and you're thinking about buying one. Man, all of a sudden you're looking at that car. You start to see them all around. You're like, everybody has a car like that but me. Because you're looking for it. It draws your attention to it. I want you to follow that today because as we look for God's favor, you'll begin to see more of God's favor. And the reason that you come to a point where you say, well, God doesn't favor me. I don't see his favor in my life. It's because we've stopped looking. We've stopped opening our eyes and being ready. Let's look at the, oh, did I put the definition of God's favor up there? I don't know if I did or not, Jessica. I'll read it if it's not up there. There we go. Thank you, Jessica. And I mentioned this last week, but if you didn't write it down, I want you to, because I don't want you to miss the favor of God. I don't want you to think that it's God giving you stuff or God making your life easy. This is the definition that we started of favor. The favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through my life. So why does God give us favor? Bottom of the sentence. to accomplish His special purpose in and through my life. That means that God has a special purpose for each person in here. If you're a believer, God has a special purpose. And He's guaranteeing His presence. He's saying, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to give you the power through me to do it. It's not about you. God's going to do it. He's going to do it through you for His special purpose through your life. So if we're going to find God's favor, first we've got to know what we're looking for. So I want to encourage you to note today as we go down through this, 3 points. I want you to be able to see, and what I'm going to try to help is to open our eyes where we can be favor finders, where we can look this week, this month, the rest of our lives, and see the favor of God around us so that we know how to respond to the favor of God around us. The first 3 points I want you to write down: to increase God's favor, to find God's favor, to understand God's favor. Not to earn it, because we learned last week, we don't earn it, it's not achieved, it's received. Number one, I want you to write down the word, expect. You expect God's favor. Real big on your paper. Underneath that, in parentheses, if you're taking notes, I want you to write, you frame your world with favor. You expect it, you frame your world with it. How do I walk in the favor of God? How do I tune my life to it? You expect it. Last week I mentioned two Bible characters, Moses and Mary, who found favor with God. One of them, Moses, went on to lead a few million people through a very dry land, 40 years in the wilderness, saw miracle after miracle after miracle. Amazing story. God did so many great things through Moses because Moses was favored by God. Remember, he started off saying, God, I can't even speak correctly to serve you. I'm weak and Pharaoh will never listen to me. But God favored him. It was God's power in his life that allowed him to fulfill the purpose to go set Israel free and to bring them to the promised land that God sent him. We talked about Mary. You think about Mary's life. Had a baby born really basically in inhumane conditions, literally in a stable, and she faced ridicule her entire life, but she got this amazing opportunity to be the mother of Jesus Christ, to raise the Son of God. Both the people that we talked about, they fulfilled God's purpose, and the purpose that God had on their life, it was much larger than their convenience or their comfort. It wasn't easy for them. Both of them did things that were beyond the scope of human possibility. I want you to hear this morning that that's what favor is about. Favor is not about stuff. It's about God doing something in your life that's beyond your abilities, your resources, your talents, something that you simply have to say, God, I have to have your favor if I'm going to fulfill the purpose that you have in my life. You know, every year at Christmas, I don't know if she does it anymore since she doesn't do the show, Oprah does her favorite things. Anybody seen that before? Oprah's favorite things, and she has all these gifts, and she gives away, and so if you'll look under your pew real quick, I have a card. There's a gift for you there. Well, everybody look. It's a new car. There's some car keys under your seats, right? You know, what would happen if you reached under your seat and found car keys? What would you do? You'd be pretty excited, right? Right? You know, we would. We'd jump up and down. I promise you. Even you that are over 80 would jump up and down, scream, and do a little twirl. And you'd run out of here. You wouldn't listen to sermon anymore to go get your new car. That's what they do on that Oprah show, man. She'll say, here's this. And man, they go wild. As I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Here, God, he comes. He doesn't just offer us stuff. Because stuff wears out and it decays and it rots and it breaks down. And it, you know, he doesn't just offer us stuff. What God offers to us is to personally be something to us. The God of the universe says, I will personally come down and walk with you and live with you and favor you, and I'll work something through your life that gives your life meaning and purpose. Something that we don't have apart from God, by the way. If you don't know the Lord in here today, I just challenge you to ask, what's your purpose? You don't know what it is because you're walking apart from the person that created you for that purpose. You don't know what it is because you don't have a relationship with the only one that knows what it is. And so God gives us purpose, and he says, okay, my purpose is always greater than your means to accomplish it. I would challenge you, if the purpose in your life that you believe God has called you to, if it is easy and if it is within your scope of ability, you probably haven't found your purpose. You're not doing what God's called you to do, or you're not doing it to the degree that God's called you to do. Because God calls us to things that we have to move beyond ourselves to do. Because he wants us to turn to him and say, God, I have to have you to do this. I have to have your favor. I can't do this on my own. That's an awesome thing. God didn't just offer us stuff. He actually offers us himself. You know, we see that all throughout Scripture. Think about Abraham, who found favor in God's sight. Even though it meant launching out into an unknown world. You know, God told him, go to the land, and I'll show you later on what land it is. And Abraham went. Where are we going? And God said, I'll show you when I get there. And all you need to know, Abraham, is I'm going to be your shield, and I'm going to be your exceeding great reward because you found favor. All Moses needed to know was, God, are you going to go with me? And I'll go. We already talked about him. We could have talked about Nehemiah. Man, God said, you know, you go build the wall around Jerusalem. And he didn't even have the resources, but he went to the king and said, King, this is what I need to do. I basically want to build a big wall around the city of your enemy. Is that okay with you? And the king, you know, he said it wouldn't make any sense in the world. The king said, yeah, in fact, here's all the materials you need to build the wall. We'll float it down the river to you. Favor. And then he went and he gathered the people together and they started building the wall in record time. Studies say that we couldn't even do it with tractors and, bulldozers and all that today. What the people of God did in a record amount of time through Nehemiah because God favored him. You could talk about Gideon. You know, Gideon, God told him to go to war. And Gideon said, God, the one thing I have to know, it doesn't matter the size of my army. Doesn't matter how great a warrior I am. My only question is, God, do you favor me? And he said, I'm going to throw out this fleece. And I want to know that your favor's on my life because I realize, God, that anything you ask me to do, if your favor's with me, I can do it. The women get favor too in the Bible, by the way. We talked about Mary already. We could talk about Esther. You know, saved the Israelite people, went before the king. Most people would have their heads chopped off or coming before the king uninvited, but she said, you know what, I'm going to go, God. If I found favor with you, you protect me and take care of me. And she made her request. The king said, whatever you want, you just ask. And she made her request to the king, and Israel exists today because a woman named Esther, not because she was powerful and mighty, but because she found favor with a mighty God and fulfilled her purpose in her life. Think of a woman named Ruth. By herself, she found favor with Boaz, one of the wealthiest men of her time. Had land, had property. Here she was, nothing, traveling, comes to his house and starts just picking up scraps from his field because he was a nice guy. Just starts by drinking from the water jug of his servants. And then eventually ends up married with the man himself, ends up becoming David's great-grandmother, and is ultimately in the lineage of Christ. See, God had a purpose for his life, and he favored her all along the way and enabled her to fulfill the calling that God had. Not because she was an amazing woman, but because of God's favor. Favor will just do stuff in your life where you're like, God, I can't believe you're doing this through me. I don't have the resources or the talents or the ability or the strength, but God, you're favoring me, so I'm going to go forward and I'm going to fulfill the purpose, the calling that you have in your life. You have to expect it. Frame your world with favor. I've decided that even when bad things happen, I'm going to choose to believe God, that he works for the good. What's Romans say? For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You come into bad situations and you say, you know what? I'm expecting your favor, God. I'm expecting you to turn this bad situation for the good, even if I don't see it. Even if I don't understand it. If it never looks good to me, God, I'm expecting because I know that you favor my life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to expect that you're going to go with me. Psalm 5:12, David says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I love that. Love that word surround because in the Hebrew it means you go before them and you go in front of them and you go beside them. God surrounds our life with favor. I love that verse. So the first thing I have to do is expect it. And I can tell talking to people sometimes that they don't necessarily expect God's favor. And it's not that God's a genie in the bottle. Don't get that wrong. He's God in heaven. He's not a genie in the bottle. It's not like you can manipulate a miracle out of God. But I am telling you that when you're in the market for it, when you're looking for God's favor, you're going to see it. There's a different vocabulary that you use than people that don't have God's favor in their heart. There's a different vocabulary you use when you wake up in the morning. You don't wake up and say, well, I wonder what's going to go wrong today. You know, I just wonder... You start talking about, you know what? I wonder what God's going to be able to do through me today. I wonder what God's going to take, what kind of challenge that He's going to put in front of me that He's going to be glorified in as I'm faithful to Him. Because I've got favor, and I'm going to get up today and I'm going to walk in the favor of God. Instead, I hear people say stuff like this. You know, something bad will happen. You know, they'll lose their job, or they'll go back to buy the thing at the grocery store that they desperately need, and you know, it won't be on the shelf, the last one will be gone, or they'll get dressed and ready for work, and it'll be 5 minutes before the meeting, and they'll spill coffee all over their shirt. And you know what they say? I hear it all the time, and if you said it to me, I'm not picking on you, because I don't remember who has, but I say it all the time. They'll say, you know what, it's just the story of my life. It's just the story of my life, right? How many of you said that? Amen. It's just the story of my life, just the way it goes. You know, if that's the story of your life, if you know, you get up every morning and you're disappointed and you're frustrated and you're always intimidated because there was bad coming your way and you never expect God to be good to you. If that's the story of your life, you need to get a new director for your story. You need to change something in your life where you get up and you say, you know what, God, whatever it takes, whatever challenges, if I spill my coffee on my shirt, whatever it takes, I'm going to glorify you today, and I'm going to expect, God, that you give me everything I need to glorify you in my life. See, sometimes we expect failure rather than favor. We expect God not to work more than we look for Him to work. But see, my Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, and man, and at the end He said, you know, it's all very good. And then you flip back to the end of the book and you find out, you know who wins? God wins. Christ wins. And you know who He wins through? This is the challenging thing. Who's God win through? His church. His church. That means we're to be overcomers. That means we're to expect to walk in God's favor. That means that in the end, you know, the enemy's going to be loud and he's going to scream and he's going to do everything he can to set us back. But in the end, we expect God's favor because God's going to glorify Himself through your life and through my life. And we say, God, you defeat the enemy through my life. I'm not going to do it. You do it, God, because I need your favor to do it. You know, I thought of the story of David. You know, next time you see a Goliath in your life like David, did you walk up to the battle lines and you don't see him through the framework of the rest of the army. Man, they're saying this guy's going to be our end. He's going to take us down. He's keeping us from God's blessing. Stop seeing it that way and look at it like David did. This is an opportunity where if I trust God and I stand for God, He can use me to do something that the world will talk about for thousands of years. And when they do, they'll say, man, David's God, He's a great God. The only difference was when he saw Goliath, he said, you know what? What an opportunity. Where's the stone? You know, it's funny to me that he picked a stone because, you know, I know he was a shepherd. He was used to that, but I think David knew. You know what? If I did this with a sword, David fought with a sword later on, by the way, very valiantly. Tens of thousands of men. He didn't set out in the battlefield with a slingshot all of his life. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. But he went out with a slingshot that day because I think he believed, you know what? I expect that just through this slingshot, I have the favor of God. And that's rock. It's going to hit right where it needs to hit because I expect God to move on my behalf. When it happens, I want to give Him the glory for it. So you wake up in the morning, you say, God, good or bad, whatever comes my way, I'm going to expect your favor. And I'm going to be a showcase for your glory. Favor should be the primary frame of reference for a child of God. I meet a lot of Christians, and I'm the same way sometimes, that really don't understand how incredible God's favor is. So we take it for granted. But I really feel this morning God sent me to remind myself and some of you today that if you begin to expect again the favor of God in your life, there are opportunities all around you to walk in that favor. You don't need another opportunity. You don't need more stuff. You don't need more resources. You need to open your eyes to the opportunity that God has already put right in front of you. And then out of that, He'll give you a greater opportunity because Scripture said if you're faithful in little, He's going to give you more. You're going to have to be faithful over much more. So you flow in favor when you expect it, when you frame your world with it. Number two, you can write down the word recognize. You recognize God's favor. Right below that, you open your eyes to opportunity. I open my eyes to opportunity. I recognize it. The other day, I guess it's been a few weeks ago, Captain and I went to the Oklahoma-Baylor game in Waco, and so we're standing in the stands, and we have great seats. We're watching OU just get pummeled, which is a whole other sermon. But anyway, down from us, there's this family. Were they cheering for Baylor? Or they were cheering for Baylor because they were happy, you know. And they were cheering. Oklahoma, we just sat and pouted the whole game. But it was funny because at one point, it was family, mom and dad and two kids. And I didn't see all of it. Captain told me about it. The dad looked down at the two kids, and they were both on their video game systems. And they're playing a football game on their iPhones, okay? Playing football on their iPhones. And the dad looks down and says, "You know what? I paid $75 a whop for you to sit in that seat. So you could see a live football game. Baylor's making history. And you're playing a football game that doesn't even matter on an iPhone." And the dad was frustrated. He said, "Put those up. All you're concerned about is that. You don't even care." And this is my point for that. It just goes to show you something great can be right in front of your face, if you call that great. Certain people in here would. Something great could be right in front of your face, and you can be so distracted by things that don't matter at all, or maybe not mature enough like these children to open your eyes and see the favor that's right in front of you. You see, in fact, because greatness is in front of us every day. You look at somebody else's marriage, and we do this, and you're like, "Man, they just got God's favor on their marriage. Why don't I have that kind of favor?" It's not that. It's that they recognize the opportunity for favor when they open their eyes to it and they walk it out in their marriage. They stop treating their wife bad, or they stop treating their husband bad, because they realize, "God, I want to walk in your favor in my marriage." So we see other people's finances. You don't understand. Why does God favor them the way that he does? And why does he favor me? And this is my point. When you look at others, when you get your eyes off of your world and looking for where God favors your life, because God has a different purpose for you than them. And God has a different purpose for me than you. And as God looks at our lives individually, he says, "Okay, this is the favor that Daniel needs today to accomplish the purpose that I have for his life." And he looks at you and he says, "This is the favor that I need to give you today to accomplish a purpose." And some of you, it may be financial resources. And some of you, it may be health. And some of you, it may be time. And others, it may be relationships or friendships. Some of you have been favored with children, that you get a raise and you get a teach. See, God looks at us and he says, "Okay, this is the favor that you need for this time in your life. And I'm going to give it to you." The problem is we look other places and we see how God favors them and we miss what God's calling us to do. So I'm going to challenge you this morning as you look at your life, stop looking this way. Open your eyes to your life and to what God's doing in your life and say, "God, what have you done? What resources do we have? And what are you calling me to do with them?" I was visiting with a retired preacher one day several years ago, and he was struggling financially. Excuse me. His health was not that great. And he told me, "It may not seem, Brother Daniel, that God is blessing me all that much." In fact, he told me that his kids had become really bitter with God and the church because of his circumstances. His wife had died, and he said, "My kids think that God should have taken better care of me." But then he smiled and he said, but brother, do you know the number of people that I've led to the Lord in my life? That God has favored me and given me an opportunity to lead to Christ?" And he said, "Just last week, one of my neighbors down the hallway came down and I got to pray with them and I got to lead them to the Lord." And he said, "I don't have finances. But do you know how many times I've got to marry people and set their life on a good biblical foundation of marriage, or I've got to be with a hurting family during a difficult time, they've lost a loved one, and I've got to minister to them?" He said, "You know what? God uses me every day, even where I'm at. I pray with others, I bless others, I talk with others about Jesus, and my kids see it as a curse. But," he said, "Pastor, I see it as a blessing. I see it as God favored, because I wouldn't trade," and he said, "I'm honest about this, I wouldn't trade where I am and what I have for a golden castle and servants and the whole bit." He said, "Because right here where I'm at, I see God's favor on my life." See, the world would say that man wasn't favored. Even his kids didn't think he was favored. His circumstances, to be honest, I was there and I'm going, you know what, buddy? You don't look very favored here. But in truth, when I left that day, I was jealous. You've got God's favor all over your life. He had a fullness and a happiness that most people never experience. And he expected and he recognized the favor of God in his life. Even though it wasn't something that made his life easy, it was something that gave his life purpose. And he woke up the morning and said, God, I'm still breathing. What do you want me to do today? And as I do it, I know you're going to do it right beside me, and I'm going to expect the favor of God in my life. Some may find favor in financial blessing that they're able to pour into God's work. Some may find favor into raising children to be men and women of God. Some may find favor in a life of prayer. Man, I would love to have hours a day to seek God and to pray. Oh. Sometimes I'm hungry for it. And some of you, that's all you have. And you say, I just wish I could work. I just wish I could mow the lawn and have something to do. God's favored you, and you're looking elsewhere at somebody else's life, and you're missing it. You know, some of you, God has given an awesome job where you make really good money, and your question to God needs to be, God, what do you want me to do? What do you mean to do with this? Some of you, God's given health and strength, and you just ask God, how do I serve you with this? Some of you, God's given amazing talent building or constructing or decorating or singing or praying, whatever it would be. And you ask God, God, I see the favor of my life. You know who comes to me when I think about this? John Owens in Louisiana. Man, just amazing man of God. And I remember he sat right over there around where Linda and Jack are sitting, and I would go down and carry him a microphone when he would pray on Sunday mornings because he couldn't get up here. And you know, to this day, he calls me about once every other week and just to visit and to say, hey, Pastor, I'm praying with you. Anything I can pray with you for? And I used to think I was special. And he calls every birthday, me and my wife. And I know I've mentioned this before, but some of you are going, yeah, because he goes to the directory. He calls everybody that he can find. Everybody. He sees our bulletin. He says, oh, three birthdays. You know what? He doesn't have a lot. He doesn't have a lot of strength. He doesn't have a lot of health. But what he does have is time and a telephone. And you know what? He thinks he's the luckiest man in the world because he can call and bless others and use what he has because he says, you know what, God, this is what I have, and I'm expecting you to minister to these people through me. And, you know, we've just decided. I was talking to Terry one day about community rehab and fall festival. You know, he's one of the first people to call to say, hey, John, we want you to be praying. We've got this big thing coming up. And, John, we want you to be praying. And you know what? You know when you tell John to pray, he's going to pray. And he's going to call you afterwards and say, how'd it go? Because I was praying. You know, lost his wife. Moved away from home, really. He could just enjoy his retirement, kick back, watch a lot of football, forget about all of us and forget about God's work here because he considers this his church. But he realized, God hasn't given me favor for my comfort or my convenience. He's giving me favor for his glory and for his purpose. You know, although you can't produce or achieve or earn God's favor, you can position yourself to receive it. Favor isn't just a matter of luck. It isn't just a matter of chance or isn't just looking on the sunny side of things. And that's my last point. We expect God's favor. We recognize God's favor, and then we respond to it. You give yourself to obedience. Realize the greatest way to respond to God's favor. Notice I said respond. I didn't say pay back. Sometimes we think that. You can never pay God back. You understand that? It's a free gift. You can't pay him back. You don't have anything that's not his anyway. You're not responding to God's favor and paying him back for it. It doesn't work that way. Saying thank you doesn't respond to someone for their gift of kindness to you. It just is an admission that I don't deserve this, and I'm appreciative of what you're doing, and I notice what you're doing. One famous preacher said that favor ain't fair. There's nothing fair about God's favor. There's nothing fair about the cross. Christ was innocent, and he took your sin and my sin. He took your place. It's very difficult when I deal with the kids because we've taught them that. I've told them that story. You know, it'd be like, Samuel, if you got in trouble at school and you were sent to the principal's office and you were going to be punished, and the friend that you had said, you know what, instead of punishing Samuel, I'll take your punishment. I'll take it for him. And so we've told them that story. That's what Jesus did for you boys. And so the other night, one of them bit the other in the bathtub. Hard, right on the back. And we got out and we're standing there and I said, I'm going to go get the belt because this is bad and you're going to get a spanking. And by that time, they had made up. And Caleb said, or Samuel said, I'll take his spanking, Daddy. Because he remembered what I said. And I said, oh, you will? Okay. Caleb, are you okay with that? And Caleb said, yes, sir. Absolutely. And get him good, Dad. And I went and got the belt, and I walked back in the room. And as soon as he saw that belt, Samuel looked at it and he said, now, are you going to let me put my pants on first? He just had his underwear. And I said, no, sir. Did you let Caleb put a shirt on first before you bit him? Or did you let, I asked Caleb and he said no. And I said, well, so you're going to get a spanking just like that. And Samuel said, kind of looked at his brother and he said, are you sure you're okay with that, Caleb? And Caleb said, mm-hmm. And Samuel looked at me and he said, that ain't very fair, Daddy. And I said, do you think it was fair what Jesus went through? Because it wasn't. And Samuel changed his mind and said, I'm not taking his spanking anymore. I ain't Jesus, is what he realized. Favor isn't fair. You don't get to repay it. It's not deserved. We don't say, God, I want to return a favor to you now and give you my life. That's not our response to favor. Obedience is our response, not to pay back God. We just say, God, show me how I can take the favor you've given me, the blessing you've given me, the influence you've given me, the money you've given me, the skills you've given me, and show me how I can be a channel of your favor, of your blessing for others. Because God, I know and I realize you didn't give this favor to me for me. You gave it to me for your purpose, so I can achieve the calling that you have on my life. So when you expect God's favor and you receive God's favor, then you pray and you ask God, okay, God, how do I use it for your glory? God has given me this amazing family. What are you calling me to do with them? God has given me this awesome job. What do I do with it? God has given me health and strength. How do I serve your purpose with it? God has given me this special talent. God, just show me, point. What do I do? God, I have plenty of time to spare. How do I use it for your glory? I can cook. What do I do, God, to serve you with this? Here's the favor that you've given me. Because what we think is that you just do that naturally. But when you do that, you totally miss that God is the one that enables you and strengthens you and favors you to allow you to accomplish things in your life. And the question is, how do you take that favor? Do you use it upon yourself for your glory? Or do you use it to glorify God? You know, you can't produce or achieve God's favor, but you can position yourself to receive it. And we do that through obedience. It's not just a matter of luck. It's not just a matter of chance or looking on the sunny side of things. Don't get that from the message. I'm not just telling you to look up and ignore the, and just look at the bright side of things. This isn't is your glass half full or half empty kind of message. And I'm not talking about just being thankful about stuff. Don't get me wrong there. I'm talking about leaving this series and committing to be a person that walks in the favor of God. Not just for 3 days while you've got inspiration, but asking God, God, right now in my life, make me a person who doesn't just feel the favor of God every once in a while, but expects it, that walks in it in hard times and in good times. Let me see and know your favor, and let your favor accomplish your purpose in my life, whether it makes me comfortable and happy or not. Because listen, the state of church in America, it's not good when it comes to this. We really miss the purpose of God's blessing. We miss it entirely. We actually have convinced ourselves that God's favor is about us because he's good. You hear it all the time on the television. You turn on, you hear preachers preaching this prosperity gospel. God will give you 7 houses and $1 billion and an airplane you can put your name in. So you have all this comfort. You know, I was researching a revival speaker one time to bring to our church. Preaches amazing messages. And I read on his website what he required. One, he charged way more than we could ever pay. And secondly, he listed the kind of car that he wanted to be picked up on in at the airport. It had to have leather seats. He even said what color he wanted it to be. He would not stay at a church member's house. He had to have a hotel room, and it had to be at least a 4-star hotel. Good luck finding that in Comanche County, right? Had to have certain restaurants distant to him. He did not want to eat at people's houses. Amazing speaker. Incredible. Incredible. Man, God has given him such a talent and a gift. I thought, man, he would be incredible to come and speak to our church. And I researched, I thought, you're missing the whole point. God has given you all that favor, and you're manipulating and using it for your own comfort, for your own convenience. When there are missionaries out there with just as good at gifts as you that are sleeping on dirt ground, literally eating bugs because that's what the people they're ministering to are eating, and they're happy to do it. And I just begin to cry out, God, you know what? Whatever gifts you've given me, whatever talents you've given me, happiness is not my bottom line. That's oftentimes why we miss the favor of God. And we credit luck or circumstances or hard work. We miss that God favors us so that we can be a blessing to others. Your finances, your home, your car, your food. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. He favors us for His purpose, not ours. So how do we respond to God's favor in our lives? You look for it. You expect it. And then you simply ask God, God, I see it in front of me. What do you want me to do with it? I know it's for your purpose. How do I use it for your glory? So tomorrow morning we get up knowing that God has a plan for your day. And you spend time with God because you know you need to know that plan before you go into your day. And then we go into the day expecting God's favor. God, I know this is what you've called me to do today. And it's beyond anything that I could even think about doing. But God, I'm going to walk into this day with your presence. And I'm going to step out in faith knowing that you're going to move supernaturally on my behalf for your glory. And then when we see God's favor, we recognize it when it comes. We see and we say, God, what purpose have you sent it? I'm ready. Then we get up the next day and we do the same. And the next day and we do the same. We expect the favor of God. We recognize the favor of God. We respond to the favor of God through obedience. You know, I know that God favors us. You know how I know that? Because God gave His Son to die for our sins. He favors us. But some of us here, some of you may not have heard that or understood it. You really miss the He died for you part. For you. God gave His Son for you. My challenge is if you're there today, you've never accepted that salvation that God's offered through His Son. My prayer is that you would recognize it today, that you would expect it, that you would recognize it, and then hopefully that you would respond to it. And the way you do that is you simply come forward and you say, God, I'm going to put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's cool that Romans tells us that everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what that is? It's expecting. You have a promise of God that when you call on Him, you can expect that He saves you. Some of you need to make that decision today, maybe, and you need to come forward and you need to say, I'm calling out to God to save me, and I can expect that He will because His Word promises that Jesus took my sin to the cross. Some of you believers today, you know that part. But you miss God's favor all around you. You're looking at others, or you're looking at other circumstances. You're scrolling other people's Facebook pages, and you're saying, man, that person's really favored. And man, that person's really blessed. And I wish I had that family, and I wish I had that stuff. And you're looking at other people's lives so much that you're missing the favor that's unique to your life. And because you're missing that favor, you're missing the purpose for which God sent it. So get up tomorrow morning and say, God, I want to walk in your favor. Open my eyes to see it. I want to expect it. Pray that God would show you the favor in your life so that you can respond to it, so that you can use it for the glory of God. We expect it. We recognize it when we come. We respond to it through obedience. So my challenge to you today is, how will you respond to the favor God has given you today? How will you respond to it? How will you respond to the favor that God gives you tomorrow? I want you to ask yourself that every day. God, the resources, the things that you, how will I respond to them? I want to respond in obedience. God, whatever you called me to do. The way we do that is you've heard a word from the Lord today. God has favored you enough to speak to you, not because of me, by the way. Not because of me, I assure you. But because of His power and His strength through me. God has spoken a word to you today. He has favored you just in being here today. That sounds real arrogant. He's favored you to hear me preach, right? He's favored you. So the question is, will you take what you've heard and will you live it out in obedience, or will you leave it at the door? My challenge is, let's get up every day and say, God, I'm going to walk in your favor. I expect it, I recognize it, and I want to respond to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word today. Father, we're truly thankful for the favor you have on our lives. Father, but so often when we say thank you, it's because your favor made us happy or comfortable. And Lord, we miss the point when we think it's about us. So Father, as we look this week at the favor of God on our lives, and we expect it and we recognize it, Father, I pray that we would respond to it. That we would look for every opportunity to live our lives for you, to serve your purpose, and to give you glory. I pray if there's one in here today that needs to respond to the message of salvation, to the truth of Jesus Christ, that they would today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stay